Galatians 6, verses 12 through 15. Some people are trying to force you to be circumcised so the Jews will accept them. They are afraid they will be attacked if they follow only the cross of Christ. Those who are circumcised do not obey the law themselves, but they want you to be circumcised so that you can brag, so that they... Well, let me read that again. Those who are circumcised do not obey the laws themselves, but they want you to be circumcised so they can brag about what they forced you to do. I hope I will never brag about things like that. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is my only reason for bragging. Through the cross of Jesus, my world was crucified, and I died to the world. It is not important if a man is circumcised or uncircumcised. The important thing is being made the new people God has made. The cross. I love this song by Fanny J. Crosby. I think this song is when I was Stefan's age. This was one of my favorites. I loved Angry Words, and I loved this song. Because what is the cross to a Christian? It's everything. It's our very, very life. You know, Satan was defeated by the cross, wasn't he? So what does he want to do with the cross? He wants to rob it of its power. He wants to make the cross so common and so... I don't have anything against jewelry with the cross on it. But what is one thing happens when you start making the cross into jewelry? You know, earrings or whatever. You take the symbol of God's love and make jewelry out of it. I don't even really know what the symbol of my love to Marianne is. And it takes the power from the cross. I mean, I can't imagine me taking my wife somehow and making jewelry out of her. but isn't that what we've kind of done with the cross? Or we see it on church buildings everywhere. Once again, I don't have anything against the cross being on church buildings. But we see it as what? A decoration. And it loses that specialness that it represents. It doesn't really lose the power. But Satan wants to make it appear mundane. Oh, yet the cross is great for jewelry. Just not for your life. How many people do you know who wears a cross on their ear, on an earring or on a ring or a necklace, but aren't willing to live it in their life? And I love those words. I wrote them down here somewhere, but of course I don't see where I wrote them. Give me that book, Charlie. First verse, go ahead and read it. I'll let you read it, since you got the book. If you want, everyone can open up. Let's take a look at 4:32. Let's look at those words. Let me grab a book. I'll read it. I'll look at it too. And I don't know, have you noticed? How often nowadays do we sing songs about the cross? 4:32. I'm there. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. I think Fanny understood what the cross was all about. And I think penned some wonderful words here. But the cross is much more than decoration. Once again, I have nothing against Christians wearing crosses. As long as we realize it's not something pretty to look at. It's a lifestyle. A lifestyle that we use when we follow Jesus Christ. We do this to other things, don't we? I think of John 3:16. You ever watched a football game where someone doesn't hold up a John 3:16 sign at the game? Or a lot of people, you know, I learned to recite that back when I was Stefan's age. I think in King James English I can still do it. But when I recite it, does it mean anything to me? Or is it just something that I had learned as a kid? The Lord's Prayer is often used the same way, isn't it? Satan seeks to make amazing things mundane. He seeks to rob power away from the cross and away from Jesus. He couldn't defeat Jesus on this earth. The cross defeated Satan. And so, if you can't defeat the cross, try to make it mundane to people and their lives. And when you do that, Satan. Also, and I think this bugs me more than jewelry, and you see it a lot, the sign of the cross. Something bad will happen, and what do people do immediately that are Catholic? The sign of the cross. Why? Why are they doing that? Have you ever thought about that? Are they praying for the person that was just hurt in that car? Maybe some. But I think for the majority of them, it's a magic to ward off evil. You ever thought about that? See what Satan has done to the cross? Make it something magical. Not the power of God as it should be. I've seen it on bumper stickers. I've seen it in cemeteries and on roofs. But how many hearts carry the cross of Christ within it? I was just trying to remember how many sermons I've actually preached just on the cross. And I think I could probably count them in all 10 fingers. It's amazing. We preach on a lot of things. But sometimes we forget that none of that would even be possible without the cross. Peace is possible because of the cross. Salvation is possible because of the cross. Prayer in the name of Jesus is possible because of the cross. The promises of God are now possible because of the cross. It's not only the heart of Christianity, it's the heart of God. Because of the cross. You see, God sent His Son to die. Isn't that amazing? The cross of Christ. Paul, an inspired writer of gospel. And these words, I hope I will never brag about things like that. Whether I've got people to get themselves circumcised or not. Even bragging about how many baptisms I helped come about. Is that what Christianity is all about? How many baptisms a missionary or evangelist has gotten? If you're a missionary, to many mission committees, to many elders, yes, that's the whole crux of everything. How many baptisms did you have last year? Ooh, only 12? Only 15? I'd love to have asked some of those elders, how many did your congregation have that same year? Maybe you should cut your evangelist pay because he's not putting out the baptism. But yet we tend to have made baptisms the mark of an evangelist or a missionary. Is that what it's all about? I think the cross is about God's love to save mankind. And so, what does Paul brag about if he doesn't brag about all these other things? He says, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is my only reason for bragging. Through the cross of Jesus, my world was crucified and I died to the world. See, the cross is not about looking attractive. It's not about just salvation. It is about crucifying yourself to this world. He said, my world has died. Think about Paul. You know, that man would, and I can't remember who mentioned that just recently. That may have been Jamie the other night. He said he was on track to be a member of the Sanhedrin. I think that's correct. Paul was on his way to big and glorious things. I shouldn't say Paul. Paul wasn't. Saul of Tarsus. Because Saul of Tarsus was crucified. And Paul rose from the dead. You understand what Paul gave up? We might say he could have been a fantastic congressman or a fantastic president. I don't know if he could have been high priest or not, if he was in the wrong family or not. But Sanhedrin is a high office. You know, one of the things the Pharisees loved about being in the Sanhedrin, when they walked down the street, what did people do? They stepped out of the way and they bowed and they showed great respect. When Paul walked down the street, people bumped him out of the way probably. There's that man who preaches Jesus Christ. There's the man who causes trouble by announcing that our pagan gods are wrong. Paul gave up a lot. And he said, do you know what? That's trash. Look what I have gained because of the cross. Look what I have gained because I preached the cross. You know, it's true. Paul was shipwrecked. He was put in jail. Paul was punished and beaten. He said he had to fight wild animals with his hands. And Paul said, I'm joyful. I rejoice because he can fight bears with his hands, lions with his hands. No, because the cross of Jesus Christ has given him something more valuable than he lost. It gave him not only salvation, but it gave him the ability to help others come to salvation. Not that he could have a checklist. I had 333 baptisms in my lifetime. No, he said, God used me as a tool that men and women could come to Jesus Christ because of the cross. The story of the cross would be empty and vain and void of meaning if it weren't so. Had he counted baptism, what would the cross have been? But a way for his own glory, not the glory of God. Paul concludes his thoughts with these words, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Whose cross was it? Was it Paul's? Yes, Paul had to carry his cross. But was it Paul's cross that brings salvation to mankind? It was the cross. It was the blood-stained cross of Jesus. And you know, that's true. That cross was blood-stained with His blood. Often the bathroom counter is with my blood bedecked. That's because I don't always shave properly. But the cross carried the blood of the Lamb, the blood of God, the blood of Jesus Christ. And it brought glory to the Father. And because of the cross, it brought glory to the Son. Because did God leave Jesus dead to stink in some grave? Remember, Jesus went to Lazarus and he said, open up the vault. No, Jesus, he'll be stinking by now. You think that's what God wanted to happen to Jesus? That he would die and decay and stink up the tomb? That's not what God's plan was. God said, I'm going to prove to you that Jesus is my Son, that he is deity. You know how I'm going to do it? I'm going to raise him from the dead to show that he is approved. And then I'm going to bring him to heaven to sit on my right-hand side, that his name, and no other name in the world, his name, not Muhammad, not Allah, not any other name, not Buddha. I can't think of any more. Who? Moses, Abraham, none of these names. No name but Jesus. And I love when he goes to the Mount of Transfiguration and all of a sudden Moses comes and I want to say Jeremiah, but that's wrong. Isaiah. Thank you. They come and you know, I always wondered how Peter and the other two knew who they were. Let this amaze me. Elijah. You had us both wrong, Charlie. Elijah. I don't know how Peter and the other two knew who they were. Oh, hi, I'm Elijah. But what did they want to do? They wanted to honor all three men. And God said, wait a minute. If you got a choice between Moses and Elijah and Jesus, pick my Son. He's God. And I'm going to glorify him in ways I never glorified Moses. Moses was what? He was a servant of the house of God. Jesus was the Son of the house of God. Which would you rather be? Not that Moses was something terrible. Moses was a good servant. The Bible teaches he was, at the time of that writing, the humblest man on earth. Which says a lot, doesn't it? I wish that could be said of me, Charlie. Though Paul was circumcised himself, he did not glory in it. At one time, he probably did, though. At one time, he says, I am not only circumcised on the correct day, on the third day, or the eighth day. Boy, I'm off with all my stuff tonight. But he said, I'm a Pharisee of that. Meaning, he was extra good Pharisee. If they fasted, he fasted. Maybe even longer than the others. If others studied the Word of God, I'm sure Paul put many more hours. Paul said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And yet, when the cross came to Paul, Paul was willing to put it on the trash. All that stuff. And to bear the cross of Christ. Because the cross of Christ was the message of Christ's crucifixion. It was the message of his death. It was the message of his burial. And it was the message of his resurrection and his ascension and his name being glorified. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, Brethren, when I came to you, I did not come to you with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. See, Paul said, I didn't come to you as the world's greatest speaker. He said, I didn't come to you with all the wisdom of man to prove to you that Jesus is the Christ. Because that happened on the cross. What could Paul prove more? God raised him from the dead. Glorifying the Son. What could Paul do? But Paul said, I came testifying and teaching the cross of Jesus Christ. And I was determined only to know the gospel of Jesus amongst you. He did not appeal to their vanity. He did not appeal to their wisdom. He did not appeal to them with His great oratorical skill. He preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I'm sure a part of that was the church, was obedience, was baptism, was judgment, was the truth of heaven and hell. I'm sure those were things He taught too. But for Paul, the most important, people must understand the cross. The cross is also a stumbling block for many. Why would God die on the cross for mankind? Because He loved them. And that's what many people don't understand. God doesn't want not the vilest sinner to go to hell. He wants all men to come to repentance. Sometimes we mark men and women, don't we? We mark them and we say, I don't want to invite them to church. They're so evil. They wouldn't come anyways, we might say. Well, until you present the cross of Jesus, how do you know what the power of God can do? Paul told them further, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. You think you were afraid to talk to some people about Jesus? It sounds like maybe Paul had some fear too in some cases. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We should not fear telling people about the cross of Jesus, about salvation in Jesus, because the power is not in us. The power is in God, in the Spirit. Not in us. No. Maybe we can't present the gospel as good as others. Maybe we can't explain the cross as good as others. But do we have to? The power is not in us. The power is in the cross and in the workings of God, in the telling of the story. What can I say? The cross of Jesus packs power into any sermon. The preacher who thinks he has something better to preach needs to beware, because the cross is the central crux of Christianity. If there was no cross, there'd be no Christianity. If there was no cross, there'd be no peace, no salvation. There would be no love. The cross was God's greatest act. You say, show love. I kiss my wife. I buy her flowers. I don't go get a cross and have myself killed. But that's how God showed it. Because it defeated Satan. It defeated sin. It defeated death. You think you have to die to defeat death? Well, that's God's way. What does He call us to do? He calls us to die. And thereby that we might live. You want freedom? Freedom from sin? You have to die first. But as Jesus was raised on the third day, so we will be raised new as new creatures in Christ. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. I've known some proud preachers who like to name how many baptisms they have. I have mixed feelings about that. The cross, the story of the crucifixion of Christ, His burial, His triumphant resurrection, is the firm, immovable foundation of the church which he built. No church except that which was built upon the blood-stained cross of Christ can ever succeed in the end. Only the church built upon this blood-stained cross has value for eternity. The church will be of value till this age comes to an end. Because when that happens, God has promised to take us home, to pick us up, including those who have died before the coming and those who are alive at his coming. Jesus has promised to take us home. And only those who have come to the cross and have remained at the cross will enter that glory. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 and 15. God used the good news that we preach to call you to be saved so you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, stand strong and continue to believe the teachings we gave to you in our speaking and in our letter. See, Paul said, God used us as tools. God used us to share the good news that he might save you and bring you into the glory of his Son. Sometimes I wonder about innovative changes. Do they bring us closer to the cross? If they do, power to them. If they don't, bring us to the cross, then they take us away. God forbid that the church should glory in itself. It should glory in the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ, the story, is where the power is. The story of God's love, the story of God's power, the story of God's salvation. He is the only access we have to the Father. Even our music must bring us to the cross of Christ. That's why I like the song we sang tonight. When we leave the cross out of our worship, we leave the power of the gospel behind. Even the Lord's Supper is a celebration of the power of the cross. Baptism is a participation in the cross of Christ. How can people separate these things from God's salvation when God himself has made them a part power of the cross? Listen to Jesus' word. Then Jesus took a cup, gave thanks, and said, "Take this cup and share it among yourselves. I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until God's kingdom comes." Then Jesus took some bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to the apostles, saying, "This is my body which I am giving for you. Do this to remember me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup. This cup is the new agreement that God makes with his people. This new agreement begins with my blood, which is poured out for you. Where does it all begin? At the pouring out of the blood. And where was that? At the cross. His sacrificial giving of his life is also an inspiration for us to give, isn't it? To be generous. God was generous. Should we not be generous? So his example helps us to be better givers. The cross of Jesus is the focal point of our salvation. And Paul points this out in Romans chapter 6 when he talks about baptism. The faith, not just the story, but our faith in the cross of Jesus. His death in our stead, his burial, his resurrection by the power of God. It's the strength of our Christian life. It constantly reminds the Christian who he is and who he was before his conversion. He was a sinner lost in sin. But now by the cross he is a saint. He is cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. That God shed on the cross. And now because of the cross, we are children of God according to the promise given to Abraham. We were once slaves, held in bondage by sin, but now we are free from sin and all of its evil consequences. And we are the servants of God in Jesus Christ. The important thing in the Christian's life is being a new creation. And to have a faith, an active faith. A faith that acts and responds to the love of God that was shown upon the cross. Old things have passed away and new things must come. It is at the cross that we sinners were crucified to the world, made dead to the world and all of its allurements, and by which the world becomes dead to us. Are you ready to take that step and to participate in the cross of Jesus Christ? If so, then come as we stand and sing our invitation song.